The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi arriving from the east in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He then sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for this child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over a place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
As we have been listening to the events that took place after the birth of Jesus, or even before the birth of Jesus from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, sometimes we may wonder, are they talking about the same baby? Are they have the same kind of story? Because it seems that their stories contradict each other. But in reality, they're not contradicting each other, they're complementing each other. For example, Luke talks about how Mary knew that she's going to bear the Son of God. So Matthew tells us how Joseph knew about it. Not that they have two different stories, it's the same story, but there's too many different angles to it. Luke tells us how the shepherds received the good news after the birth of Jesus. Matthew tells us how the Magi, the Gentiles, the pagans who were not religious, knew about the birth of Jesus. The point they're making that God sent us Jesus to everyone, not just only to the people of Israel, but to all peoples. There's no more Gentiles and Jews, like St. Paul tells us, male or female, slaves or free. Jesus came for all people, for all of us here today, 2,000 years ago. He came to save us. And God did not keep that a secret to himself, but he revealed it to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherd, to Simeon and Anna in the temple, to the Gentiles. God wanted to share the good news with everyone. And what these stories tell us, how these people reacted to the good news. Because that's what's important for us now. We've heard the good news again, obviously we've known it, but are we reacting to it like Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the Magi? And if you look at that story, there are certain points they go through, certain steps that they all travel through, although it's different people, different locations, different situations. It all starts, but it's God who takes that first step to reveal what's going on. To Mary, he sent an archangel. To Joseph, it was through a dream. To the shepherds, he sends his angels. These are people of faith, so God reaches out to them through their faith. He sends some angels. The Magi, They're, like I said, they're not Jews, they're pagans. At the time, you know, that these stories took place, they were representing the scientific community of their times. They're the ones that were astrologers, and every king in his palace had many magi to help them interpret the stars, because that's how they made their decision, whether to go to a war, whether to have peace with another country, whether to build a new monument. They never did anything without consulting with their astrologers. And they studied the sky, the stars, what's going on. Now, you can say, well, Father, that's not science. Well, yeah, 2,000 years later, that wasn't the science. But at that time, that was the science they had. Science evolves, it, you know, grows, it becomes more and more in depth of what's going on. So God gives them a star. Something has to do with their knowledge. And they follow the star. They didn't say, oh, look, there is a star, a king is born somewhere. But for whatever reason, they decide to follow the star to see who is this newborn king. That's kind of their yes to God's revelation. Just like Mary said yes to the archangel, just like Joseph said yes, just like the shepherds who left their flocks to went down to Bethlehem to see who is the child that the angels told them about. So it starts with God, and our response is yes to what God reveals to us. And then whatever that journey they went on, it's not an easy journey. It's not like, you know, they Ubered themselves to the airport, got on a plane, and flew to Jerusalem. It was dangerous to go on journeys like this. It took time. Obviously, it disrupted their lives in the whatever kings they served. Same thing for Mary. It wasn't easy to say, okay, now I'm going to be pregnant. How she's going to explain this to her parents, to her family and relatives, to her fiancé, Joseph? Joseph, the same thing. It always takes a risk. There is a risk when we say yes to God, because God calls us to move beyond our safety and comfort zones. He calls us to something new, to a change. And we don't like to change. We're comfortable with the way things are, even if sometimes we don't like the way things are. But sometimes it's easier to stay that way than change. But they were all willing to take the risk. And then the Magi gets to Jerusalem. The star led them to Jerusalem, but it stopped there. They had to consult with the people of faith, with the scholars of the law. It was through the faith of the scholars that they knew that the child, this newborn king, will be born in Bethlehem. See, I think that's important for us today, because a lot of time people today, especially young people, they say, oh, well, religion and science don't go together. You can't be a person of faith and believe in science. That's not true. That's baloney. Science and faith complement each other. Whether we look at things from a faith perspective or science perspective, we need both. God does not call us to have a blind faith. God calls us to believe in an experience as a church we had for 2,000 years. Did Jesus really was born? Was he really the Son of God? People, you know, gave their lives for it, died for that belief. So we have a good reason to believe in it. Science also does not have all the answers. I mean, look at the COVID thing. You have some doctors, medical experts say, oh yeah, vaccines are good for you. Others say, no, you don't need to vaccine, you don't need to mask, you need to mask. It's always this way. Look at global warming. Scientists can't agree on what's going on. But when we act, we take a leap of faith. Well, I'm going to listen to those who say masks are good, so I'm going to wear a mask. That's not based on science. None of us are really looking at all the research and making a scientific decision. It's a leap of faith. We decide who we're going to believe. Same thing with our faith. We need science. God works through the science. That's, you know, it's a gift from God. But at the end, we have to make a decision whether we want to take that leap of faith or not, because science does not have all the answers. They complement one another. And then when the Magi go to Bethlehem and find Jesus, he's not born in a castle or in a, you know, palace. he's not born, you know, surrounded by guards to protect him or dressed in, you know, purple clothes and gold. He's just a little baby, ordinary baby in a crib. And yet they believe and they give him homage and offer him their gifts. You know, we all probably now we're exchanging the gifts we got or returning them back, but we all got gifts because we were celebrating the birth of Jesus. Now, when we're celebrating our own birthdays, we're the one who get the gifts, not our friends and relatives. So what's the gift that we are giving to Jesus on his birth? What's the gift that we're giving back to God, since God gave us the greatest gift of all, the gift of his only Son, our Savior? That's part of our spiritual journey. If we're not giving anything back, then really we're not following Jesus. That's not the star we are following. And then at the end, it tells us that the Magi went by a different way because they had a dream. Again, God spoke to them. They didn't go back to Herod to tell Herod. They went back in a different way. Their lives were changed because they encountered Christ. These are the same steps that we need to follow if we want to live truly as disciples of Jesus Christ. We're going to be able to take the time to listen to God. We have to be willing to say yes to God, although it's risky, it's difficult, it calls us to change. We need to trust and go out of comfort zone and follow what God is asking us to do. We need to learn more about our faith, about God and about Jesus and what kind of relationship we have with him. And then we're going to offer our gifts in service to him. And the gifts God wants from us are not gold and frankincense and myrrh. It's the gifts of our time, talent, and treasure so we can continue to build his kingdom, so we can continue to proclaim to the world that Jesus truly is the God who is among us. And then our lives will begin to change. Because when we go through this process, we encounter Christ. And God is always calling us to grow more, to become more mature spiritually as well as in other aspects of our lives. You know, it's the custom at the beginning of a new year, we make New Year's resolutions that a week later we forget about it. But that's the tradition. And we make resolutions maybe to become better physically, mentally. We want to lose weight. We're going to start exercise. We're going to read more books or whatever it is. And that's great. But what about our spiritual lives? What's the resolution you're making so you can grow deeper spiritually? Grow deeper in trusting God, in knowing God, and what's God's will for us? As we begin a new year, sometimes we feel like, well, it's another day, another year. What's the difference? God has a purpose for each one of us. And the difference is for us to discover that purpose and say yes to it. It's different for every person. But God gives us all the gifts and talents we need to fulfill that mission, that purpose that he has given us. And unless we offer those gifts back to God, then we're not following Jesus. He's not the star that we are following. So I encourage you, take some few minutes today, you know, whatever it is, and see first, like, you know, where are you on that journey? Do you take time truly to listen to God? Are you saying yes when you know what God is asking you to do? Because a lot of times we know what God wants us to do, but we refuse to do it. Why? Because we are afraid. That's why in every time, the message that God sends to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds, be not afraid. Do we trust in those words? Are we growing in our knowledge of our faith, our relationship with Christ, with the church, with what we believe in? Are we serving God through the gifts that he has given us? Is my life any different from year to year, or I'm still doing the same things? And if it's not changing, then there is a disconnect somewhere, and you need to go back where you were and try to move over that obstacle. That's how there is excitement about every year. That's how we see ourselves growing every year. And we have that sense of hope, that sense of peace. I'm getting closer and closer to have a better relationship with Christ. I trust Him more. I trust my brothers and sisters. I'm giving more of myself to God and to others. That's what some of our resolutions for this new year should be about. And hopefully we can follow up on them. Just pick one thing, one area. Don't try to do too much. And make it a realistic resolution. Don't say, well, I'm going to pray 1 hour every day, because I tell you, you're not if you're not praying 5 minutes. Start with the 5 minutes. Say, okay, I'm going to go to Mass more regularly if you come to Mass once in a while. Whatever God is calling you, there is no, you know, one recipe for everyone, because we, all of us, are on different parts of this journey. And the one we need to follow is the star, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.